All right, so we're going to do one of my favorite meditations, very similar to what we did last week. We're going to get present in the body, but then we're also going to do a meditation for health, specifically for health. You guys ready? Tonight when we sit down, I want you to sit with your palms up because we're going to be receiving. Usually I give you the choice, but tonight you don't have a choice. You have to do what I tell you to do, at least for a little while. That's good. Feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. And it's just a slight tilt of your chin. You don't want your chin to touch your chest. Really what you're doing is you're lengthening the spine. So in your mind's eye, as you imagine tilting the chin down, or as you tilt the chin down, imagine the spine lengthening. We do this because it helps to create a subtle alertness in the body. Notice the thoughts that are moving through your mental screen. Notice the images. Notice what wants your attention. Thoughts about this morning or yesterday, thoughts about tomorrow, about what's coming up. Notice what wants your attention. And notice how you're feeling. Neutral, happy, sad, comfortable, uncomfortable. Good. And now move your attention away from the images. Away from the distractions in the mind and bring your awareness into the body. Bring your attention down into the tailbone and in your mind's eye, imagine a golden thread moving up the length of the spine, vertebrae by vertebrae. It's really taking its time. We're not in a hurry. So you imagine the golden thread moving up the length of the spine. And in your mind's eye, imagine you can feel the body becoming longer, taller, more alert. Good. In your mind's eye, the golden thread moves up the cervical spine, lengthening the neck. Good. And as the neck lengthens, the shoulders move away from the bottoms of your ears. In your mind's eye, the golden thread moves up and out of the crown of your head. And moves all the way up to the ceiling. And again, imagine you can feel it tugging at the crown of the head, and the body is even longer and taller. There's a very subtle alertness in the body. Good.
Good, and now bring your attention back down into the crown of the head and down the length of your spine. Notice how the muscles begin to descend towards the earth as your attention moves downward. And see if you can still maintain some of that length. So there's an upward movement and a downward movement. Beautiful. And move your attention now all the way down to your bottom. Notice if you're leaning to the left or to the right. Notice if you're comfortable in your seat. Go ahead and move around a little bit so that you're sitting on both cheeks evenly. Unclench the body. And allow the chair to support your weight completely. Good, and now take your attention very slowly down the backs of your legs, your hamstrings, the backs of your knees, the calves. Trace the heels with your awareness, the bottoms of the feet, the arches of the feet. Good. Go ahead and wiggle the toes, releasing any tension and deepening your connection with the floor, with the ground beneath you. Good. And in your mind's eye, take your awareness even deeper. Down into the earth. And in your mind's eye, imagine you can sense the earth, the vastness of the earth, spreading in all four directions, north, south, east, and west. Good. And imagine that you can sense or feel the kindness of the earth as she supports you in your practice. And sensing the kindness of the earth, the support, and the acceptance. Maybe you can let go a little bit more. Maybe there's a situation, there's a person, there's a thought. No longer serving you. Imagine just letting it go into the earth. It's so easy. Good, and say to yourself silently, I release anything conscious or unconscious that is no longer serving me. And now bring your attention up to your face and notice if you're frowning. Notice if there's any tension in the face. And you're just noticing. Go ahead and lift your eyebrows up. Lift them all the way up. And then let them drop and smooth the skin of the forehead. Notice how this also helps to relax the scalp. Bringing your beautiful awareness into your eyes. Let the eyes be soft so that your upper and your lower lids are barely touching. Imagine you can feel your eyes resting in the socket. Imagine you can feel your optic nerves resting, your brain resting in the skull. Imagine you can feel your nervous system resting. Beautiful, bringing your attention back to the eyes, back to the face. Bring your awareness into the jaw. Notice if you've been clenching your teeth, if there's any tension in the jaw or pressure in the ears. Go ahead and open up the mouth and very gently move the lower jaw around. Just releasing tension, releasing pressure from your ears. Close the mouth and place the tip of your tongue at the ridge just behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly and smile just slightly. Reminding us not to take our practice too seriously. Take your awareness down the sides of your neck and over the shoulders and the upper back. Notice if there's any tension in the neck, tension in the shoulders. Go ahead and roll your shoulders up to the bottoms of your ears and then let them drop, releasing any tension. Take your awareness now down the length of your arms, tracing the biceps and the triceps, tracing the elbow, tracing your forearm with your awareness, your wrists. Let the arms be heavy. And be supported by your lap. Good, taking your awareness into your hands. Notice if there's any tension in the hands, in the fingers, the palms. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers around, releasing any tension. Good. Bringing your awareness underneath the arms and down the sides of the body. Bringing your awareness over the throat, the chest, the belly, the pelvis, the thigh, the knee, the shin, the ankle, the tops of your feet, the tips of your toes. Bring your awareness between the toes. and feel your beautiful body in the chair. Feel the relaxation that you've created for yourself. Feel the breath in the body. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. And really pay attention. Notice if you're breathing through the right or if you're breathing through the left nostril. Or if you're breathing through both nostrils evenly. Beautiful, following the breath now down into the chest. And feel the gentle rise and fall of the chest. Bring your attention into the mid-back. And as you inhale, feel how the back expands with your inhale. Bringing your attention all the way down into the belly. And feel the gentle rise and fall of the belly. Inhaling. And now exhale deeply. Mindfully, really let go of all the old, all the stale air. But when you inhale, just let the inhale be natural. Don't force it. And exhale deeply and mindfully. Go as deep as you can without feeling uncomfortable. This is your practice. And when you inhale, notice that there's more room for the inhale. And again, exhaling deeply, a deep release, letting it go. And inhale, allow that inhale to just happen and notice that there's more space. And again, exhaling deeply and mindfully. And this time, inhale so that the belly expands and the chest rises. A nice, full, deep, conscious inhale. And exhaling through the nose if you can, deeply. And when you inhale, inhale so that the belly expands and the chest rises and then hold the breath at the top just for a moment. Good. And now exhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four, and pause. Inhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four, and hold the breath. Exhale to four. One, two, three, four, and hold. Inhale to four. One, two, three, four. Beautiful. Exhale to the count of five if you can, only if it feels good. Three, four, five. Inhale now to the count of five. One, two, three, four, five, and hold. Exhale to five. One, two, three, four, five, and hold. Inhale to five. One, two, three, four, five, hold. Exhale to six if you can, only if it feels good. Three, four, five, six, and pause. Inhale to six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Good. Exhale to six. Count it out for yourself. And inhale to the count of six. Good. And continue to exhale, to inhale, counting it out for yourself, evening out the breath. Good. And now let that deep breathing go. Let the counting go. And just let the breath be natural. Scanning the body, notice if there's any tension in the face, shoulders, neck, and just relax. Breathe. Beautiful. And in your mind's eye, imagine a golden light coming into the top of the head. And the golden light moves into the brain, behind the eye, down into the spine, filling the pelvis, all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. The golden light spills all around you as it comes down from the heavens, touching your hair, your lips, your clothes, your nail. And just receive this healing light. Moving your imagination and your attention inward. Imagine that the light is moving into every cell of the body. Bringing perfect health, perfect healing, and perfect peace. Maybe there's somewhere that needs special attention in the body, an area. Imagine that golden light moving deep into a cellular level into that area of the body. And you're just absorbing this light. Follow the light deep, deep into the cells until there's just space. Just receive, breathe. Taking a nice, deep, conscious, connected breath all the way down through the feet and into the center of the earth, feeling your grounding. And sigh it out. Let's do that again, inhaling all the way down, down into the center of the earth, inside out. Very gently opening up the eyes just a little bit. Gazing down at the floor. Allowing the light in the room to kind of filter in and wake you up. Open up your eyes all the way, wiggle fingers and toes, coming all the way back to the room. And give yourself a hug. And give yourself another hug. And give yourself a pat on the back. Because you did a good job. How was that? Good. I like the light coming in. I do that one for myself a lot. Just, you know, when you go home, your homework is to start meditating at home if you're not doing it already. And create a practice that works for you. I mean, for a long time, you know, people want to take on meditation. They feel like they have to change their whole life. Meditation is to fit in your life. You make it work for you. Maybe you, ideally, if you can do 15 minutes a day, that would be great. Some people say you should do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. It doesn't matter. Because if you can become still enough, you move into the present moment and then time doesn't matter. And you can do that. There's a teacher, his name is Joel S. Goldstein and Goldsmith. And, you know, his practice was you meditate for 3 minutes a day. Now, it took a little while to get to that 3 minutes sometimes, but I went to one of their group sessions, and they weren't kidding with that 3 minutes. I mean, it was 3 minutes, we're done. You know, so there's this expectation that you can connect, you can get what you need, and then you go on with the living, you know, living your life. So maybe your practice is 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon, 5 minutes in the evening. But what I'd like you to do is to make a commitment to yourself today or tonight on what you're going to explore for the week. You know, don't be like, I'm going to do 60 minutes every day. It's like, nobody's going to do 60 minutes every day. Now you have kids, you have to work, you know, things come up. But can you commit to 15 minutes a day? And how will you structure that for yourself? Will you do 5 minutes in the morning? Maybe you'll split it up 7.5 minutes and then 7.5 minutes. You know, that's a beautiful practice. And see how that feels. Can you guys make a commitment to do that? And I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear about your experiences because it's different meditating at home by yourself versus meditating in a group and it being led. So there's apps that you can download if you want to do guided meditation, music, you know, that you can listen to. When I first started meditating, I learned guided meditation. I had a teacher and she would take me through a guided meditation because I couldn't sit down long enough. It was too painful. I had too much stuff going on. That's totally legitimate. But after a time, the guided meditation, you don't really need it because it feels so good just to sit and breathe. So this week, I'd like you to challenge yourself. Do what you feel you need to. If you really want to do the guided meditation, download some apps, listen to music. For 7 minutes, time it, do that. If you want to take your practice a little bit more deeply and into mindfulness, we're going to do some mindfulness meditation at the end. Sit and breathe. Do the first part of the meditation. Relax your face. Relax your shoulders. Feel your feet on the floor, your palms up. And feel yourself in the body and then just breathe. Your attention will wander. That's okay. Because some interesting thought is going to pop into your head and then another thought and then another thought and you're going to chase those thoughts around. And when you realize that's happened, you just come back. There's no blaming yourself or I can't do it. You are actually meditating. That's what meditation is. It's bringing yourself back to the present moment. It's not some perfect state of being completely present all the time. Okay? So we're going to be gentle with ourselves with our practice, yeah? So you guys have it in your mind how you're going to do your practice. Maybe you're going to do it every other day. Make it work for you, but commit to doing it for the next 7 days until we meet again. You guys with me? Yeah, on board. Thank you.
I know somebody's on board.
All right.
Yeah. Commit. You got to make a commitment. You know, you got to do it. And you might, this article can help too. You can play with it. We're not going to read it in class, but it's on breathing. You know, it's January, and so everybody's making a commitment, a new commitment, you know, renewing their health and their well-being. And this is actually, they have some really good exercises. I like the energizing ha breath, you know, instead of like that 3 o'clock sugar rush that you want to have, maybe you can try the ha breath and experiment and see how that feels. Okay? So I'd like you to read that when you go home. Does anybody have any questions about the meditation or breathing or anything before we move forward? I'm excited. We have lots to do. It's going to be good. Anybody have any questions? No? Everybody's breathing good? Feeling? I like to do that breath, too, where we exhale completely, especially when you're stressed. If you've had a really stressful day, you're more than likely you're tense in the upper back and the neck, and it's hard to breathe down. It's difficult to get that breath all the way down into the belly. If you can exhale deeply, you're just going to be creating more room for the inhale, and it happens quite naturally. If you're feeling angry, remember we talked about exhaling through the mouth. That's another one of my favorite meditations because it's a lot of hot air. You're carrying around a lot of hot air. You're all bottled up. You let it go. Or and then inhaling through the nose. Okay, so to release those hot emotions, especially with everything that's going on, the traffic, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All right, so I'm really excited about tonight because we're going to be moving deeply, more deeply into healing the deepest areas of stress and dis-ease in the body-mind. And so we're going to look at these two questions so far. Why is it that when you make a conscious choice to do something better, right? I'm going to eat really well, brown rice every day. I'm good. You know, to live and to think better, your efforts are short-lived. If you can't sustain, even though you are working really hard at it, right? It's like I'm making a commitment to do my meditation and to do all of these other things. Every day I'm going to make a lifestyle change. And yet, you know, 6 weeks later, you're back to what you were doing before. And so what does it take to make a permanent and positive internal, like eating better, thinking more positively, and to make the internal and then the external changes. Maybe you want to have better relationships on, you know, out here. So, and I have, what other questions do you have? But I think those are two pretty big questions. So why is it that when you make a conscious choice to do something, it's short-lived, and how do we make these permanent and positive changes? You guys on board with us? Because this is important stuff, right? Does anybody have that feeling? I know we talked about this last week, where you're kind of in the same place over and over and over again. I dated the same person 3 times and different bodies. It just seemed like, I just dated you. I just met you. I'm divorced, so I'm not dating. So, yeah, I just met you. I just met you. I'm like, I think it's me. In fact, I'm pretty sure that it's me. This is my consciousness. This is an opportunity for me to grow. You keep meeting your mother. Not that that's a bad thing necessarily. You know, you keep having the same kinds of money woes, as an example. The same kinds of health things. Like things are good for 3 months and then I just, you know, crash and burn and I feel like I'm in the same spot. Anybody feel like that? Right? It's called the cycle of samsara. The cycle of death and rebirth. And so we're going to understand that because with consciousness you can shift it. So it all starts with your mind. I'm going to give you the short answer and then I'm going to explain why it is. Why we keep doing those things is because of our unconscious mind. We want to make deep changes. I want better relationships. I really do. I want a better relationship with my body. I want to be more fit. I want to make more money. I want to, you know, plant a garden. I want to do all of these things and have more energy. And so your conscious mind is, you know, you're on board, but you haven't addressed the real issue on why these things, why you're not able to sustain it, to sustain the changes is because you haven't addressed the blocks that are happening on an unconscious level. So we're going to talk a lot about your conscious and your unconscious mind and how they work together. And I promise you, if you look at your unconscious mind, or when you start to understand it, you will be able to make those changes more easily. I'll give you an example. You know, you want to lose 50 pounds as an example. So you start eating well and you start doing all of these things. But because you haven't addressed, and I'm making an assumption, because you haven't addressed the emotional issues underneath the eating, you will not be able to sustain the weight loss. We see it over and over and over again, don't we? You know, the going up and the going down and the going up and the going down. Most of us are emotional eaters. I know I am. You know, sometimes when you're stressed, I want to sit down on the couch and eat chips. Do that for too long, that's going to become a problem. So I have to address what's going on an unconscious level. Having chips every now and again isn't a big deal. But every night and you're eating a whole bag, that could be a problem, right? I tell on myself. You know, I do this stuff on myself too. All right. So you have three minds, actually. We talked about the conscious and the unconscious mind, but you also have a spiritual mind. You have a higher mind. People call it the higher self, right? So it's not just you kind of left here on the earth all by yourself. There is a spiritual, I feel, a spiritual mind. That's what I call it. But the higher self that's helping to direct you, that's where you get these inspirations, the inspiration to come tonight. The inference, like, I'm a little tired, but, you know, something's telling me that I got to go. I got to go tonight. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to grab my sister. I'm going to grab my friend, grab my family. We're going to do this. You know, that's your spiritual mind also engaging you. You guys following me? I see people looking around at the Bears of Love. So every February, people come to the center and we bring bears and stuffed animals. There's a monkey and there's an elephant. And during service, people hug them. So you're free to hug them while you're here in your meditation. For those of you that are at home talking to the computer, we have people at home listening. Grab a bear, hug it, you know, love it up, whatever. And then in February, at the end of the month, these all go to the children's hospital. So they're filled with all our love and our positive and good intentions, and then they're given to kids and make them really happy. So by the end of the class series, this will be filled with people and bears, and then, but it feels good, right? So anyways, that's what the Bears of Love are. Love is. All right. So you have your three minds. You have your conscious, your unconscious, and your spiritual mind. There are some studies, and I like to think of meditation more like art than science, but there are some studies that say 95% of your behavior and my behavior is unconscious, okay? 5% is conscious. And there's nothing wrong with this. This is actually a very good thing because you don't want to think about digestion, respiration, right? You don't want to think about what it would take just to walk across the room. If you had to consciously control that, nobody would get anywhere. You know, we would have never evolved as a species. So there is very intelligent design the way that our minds are designed. The conscious mind tells the unconscious mind what to do. The problem is that most of us have unconscious programs that we inherited from our childhood. It's just, in spiritual speak, we call it conditioned thinking. And so we are, because it's unconscious, we are not aware of the unconscious mind's emotional programming all the time. Actually, we're not conscious of it at all, really. But we experience the effects of it. You guys following me? We experience the effects of it. It's a good thing because if you understand this principle, then you can tell your unconscious mind, we want better relationships. It's like there's three of us in here. Remember, we have three minds, but that's okay. You're not alone. So, you know, we want to have better relationships. Universe is a big yes machine. Universe is one big yes machine. It's one big love machine. Okay? Whatever you think about yourself, the universe is going to mirror back to you. And if your unconscious mind is on board with that, you are unstoppable for good or for bad. For good or for bad. And we can see that with a lot of people, you know. I'm not talking about politics, but I am talking about our new president. He is convinced. He was convinced of himself, wasn't he? Convinced of himself as president, as somebody who is, you know, very wealthy and all of this. He is convinced of that. Universe doesn't care about you being a good person or you being a bad person. It's not a moral thing. It shows us that the universe is neutral in that regard. It's what you believe about yourself on a conscious and unconscious level, like the unconscious level, what you really believe about yourself is what you're going to experience, for good or for bad. And we're going to talk more about that. And over and over and over again, because the unconscious mind requires repetition in order for it to change. That's one of the ways in which we work with the unconscious mind is through repetition. You will have opportunities. You know why you see things happen again and again and again? Each time it happens, whatever it is, you keep meeting that same person or having that same situation. Depending on where you are in consciousness, you just approach it differently. If you approach it differently, you create different karma. Karma means action. Okay? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's all it means. It's neutral. Doesn't mean you're good. You don't have good karma. I got bad karma. Everybody just has karma. So if I act a certain way, if I act the same way with the same consciousness, I'm going to create the same situations over and over again. If I have the same situation come up, but I'm aware that this is just past karma, and I can approach it differently, I've shifted that situation, I will then have another experience. I'm just laying it all out, and we'll get more deeply into this. You guys okay? All right. I got karma. I got it. All right. So let's say you want to make a change, and you have the universe is one big yes machine, right? And the unconscious mind actually is a yes machine. It does what you tell it to do. The unconscious mind is going to say, better relationships, that sounds awesome, but we have to deal with all this stuff first. You know, your stuff with your, everybody has parents, everybody has dysfunction. We all do. Okay, so let's just get over that. I'm not blaming anybody's parents, my parents, your parents, we all have parents. You had a difficult relationship with your father, or you had a difficult relationship with your mother. So this caused you to feel unworthy. We're going to have to deal with some of this unworthiness. Otherwise, we're not going to have better relationships, because we'll always attract people who mirror our unworthiness to us. So as another example, so when you want to change your money status, the creditors are going to start calling. All your money stuff is going to start to come up because your unconscious mind is saying we have to deal with our poverty consciousness. Donald Trump doesn't have poverty consciousness at all. Do you understand? People, and that looks different for different people. But he is a good example of someone who the way that they think about themselves is what they are experiencing for the most part. I don't know all about all his consciousness. Do you guys follow me? You guys okay? Okay. Good. All right. So the unconscious mind has, there are some prime directives of the unconscious mind. I'm going to leave you to read this in depth later. But one of the prime directives of the unconscious mind is that it preserves your body, right? Keeps everything running. I can hold my breath. I'll pass out, but the breath, you know, just keep breathing because the unconscious mind is going to continue, allow that to happen. Runs the body, we already talked about that. And it says that it's like a 7-year-old child. So the unconscious mind wants to please you. I like to think of it more like, you can think of it as a child, but you can also think of it as a dog. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But it wants to please you. It does actually what you tell it to do. Your mind is not against you. Your mind is for you. Universe is not against you. The universe is for you all the time. So when we think about that, there's a very deep sense of personal responsibility that we have, that whatever has happened to us, right, maybe we can shift that to that it is happening for us so that we can make more empowered choices and help to reprogram our mind. I'm going to be drawing things. I'm just laying it all out. And I'm like, okay, all right, you guys good? Everybody take a deep breath and sigh it out. So the unconscious mind likes to serve. It needs very clear directions, and it takes your instructions literally. Okay? So this is why whatever you say about somebody else, your unconscious mind will also apply it to you, by the way. So this is where we were talking about language and how we use language. So if I say something about, you know, look at those people over there, the unconscious mind will think, well, we don't want to be like them. It applies whatever you are saying to yourself. You ever meet somebody who says something really wild and then you're thinking, did you do that exact same thing? Have you ever had that experience? Where they're like, look at how those people behave, or look at how, you know, Jack is over there. And then you think,
this is just like Jack. You're doing the same thing.
Anyway, it communicates through emotion and symbols. So to get your attention, the unconscious mind uses emotions. So your emotions are very important, very important. You feel angry, you feel sad, you feel happy. That's your unconscious talking to you. You feel angry about something, that's not bad. You just need to make a different decision. Do I want to feed the anger, or do I want to empower myself and move in a different direction? As an example, it stores and organizes your memories. Don't worry about that. It does not process negatives. That's very important. So in other words, your unconscious mind works in pictures. So if I said don't think of a blue tree, what are you thinking about? You have to think of the blue tree. So if you say, I don't want to be XYZ, your unconscious mind only sees the picture of what you don't want, and then it applies it to you. So this is one of the reasons why it's so difficult to make change. So when you're talking about language, I don't want to be fat, because we're talking about health as an example. I don't want to be sick. You have a picture of sick in your mind. And I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be sick. So what you're saying, telling your mind, is you're showing your mind pictures of sick. Sick, 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 all the time. Then when you go out, what do you see? You see illness. You see all the things that you don't want. There's a lot going on around you that you do not perceive. Your unconscious mind is showing you what you're telling it to. When I first started exercising in earnest, right? It always starts in January. And I would see people running, and I caught myself thinking, you know, oh, look at that person trying to run. And I was like, oh, well, that goal is not very nice. But that's not very helpful if I'm being critical. So now whenever I see somebody running, I'm go. And all of a sudden I see people who are fit and they're in shape and they're doing this and they're climbing mountains. And I love to get pictures of people who are, you know, in 90s. This woman, she was 90 years old. She was fixing her roof. You know, I want to be that lady. That's awesome. So all of a sudden I'm seeing pictures that affirm what I'm telling my mind that I want. And it is easier for me to establish a new habit because I'm not fighting with myself. You guys get that? Your language, and this is part of your homework, because you're going to pick one area, and I just want you to pay attention. And I love that there's so many of us that are here with a partner, because your partner's going to hold you, is going to mirror back to you. You know, you wanted to fix your health, but you just said, I just heard you say this. And you're not blaming partner or judging. You're just mirroring back. I just heard you say the thing that you don't want. Do you understand? Watch your language. Shift your language and you will shift your life. That's one of the ways in which you do it. Okay. So, your mind is like a dog. Your unconscious mind, like a beloved dog, not like a bad dog. Well, it can't, well, actually, it is like a bad dog for some of us. So, you imagine, you can see people walking your dogs, right? I like this analogy because it works for me. And the dog is walking them. The dog is walking the person where the dog is in front, the dog is over here, the dog is sniffing over there, and the person can't get the dog to obey. That person has lost the relationship with the animal. Animals are, dogs are in stress when the person is not in the alpha or the leadership position. Isn't that true? When the dog looks at you and is like, well, you're not the leader, that means I have to be. You have a dysfunctional relationship. It's the same thing with your mind. Most of us have not been able to establish ourselves as leader of mind. Your unconscious mind is powerful. It beats your heart. It breathes you. It helps you to walk and to digest. It does all of these amazing things. It shows you what you tell it. Six, six, six. Like, okay. Well, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and read this, and everywhere you go, there are these people that, you know, have all these illnesses, and I can't seem to get away from them. The unconscious mind is very powerful. And so you are leader or master of mind. You are the master of your mind. You have only forgotten that relationship. When you are meditating and your mind is everywhere, I've had this experience when I first started meditating. I lost the relationship with my mind. My mind was all over the place. It was that dog. It was like digging stuff up, you know, going to other people's yards, completely out of hand. Bad dog. I lost the relationship with my mind. And breathing and sitting and being helps to reestablish that relationship with mind. Because every time the dog wanders off, you yank on the chain. That's what that's like. That's why it's so wonderful that you notice when your attention wanders in meditation. It's wonderful. Because you've noticed it, you yank on the chain, you bring mind, you bring your attention back into the present moment, and you begin again. And every time you do that, you establish more and more authority over this extremely powerful mind thing that you have going on. When you are done with this class tonight, I want every one of you to know, or to say to yourself, to know, I am master of mind and I am powerful. Not just like, oh, I'm powerful. No, you are a powerful human being. And when you have that relationship with your mind, there is no thing that you cannot do. You guys follow me? I know this about you. I know that there is no thing that you can't do. I know that. You guys with me? It's good stuff, huh? Everybody take deep breaths? Sigh out. Because it feels good. All right. So, we're establishing ourselves as leader of mind. We understand that, you know, some of us, when we meditate, if we were to visualize, I like to visualize my dog mind. We might do that tonight, or we might do it next week. Sometimes I like to visualize my mind as a pack, and I'm pack leader. Not just one, but a lot, because it feels very powerful. If you want to feed, we want to be good to the mind. To the unconscious mind, to the body. You want to feed it good stuff. Minimize the news for 2 weeks, please. While you're doing your meditation, if you're here for stress, if you're here for health, minimize it. You don't have to stop altogether. I require reading the news for my day job, which is writing, doing marketing. But if you ever eat too much and you're just full and then you're miserable, It's the same thing with the news. You just get full, and then you get miserable, and then you're cranky, and nobody wants to hang out with you. Right? So minimize the news. Take it down. Reality TV, talk shows, or anything that increases your stress. Anything that when you're listening to it, you just feel that ball of tension, you're doing yourself a favor by just minimizing it. And this is interesting. No self-help book. Unless it's Louise Hay. You can read a Louise Hay book. But self-help books are diet books that start off with there's something wrong with you. There's a whole culture, a whole diet culture that says there's something wrong with you and that you're not in control of yourself. And it's very negative. I remember the last time I was going to read a diet book or an exercise book. And I'm walking by and there's this woman and I like her. She's an exercise, she's a fitness person, Jackie something. And the title of her book is This Is Why You're Fat. And it was just really negative, and it just sounded mean. And I thought, if I accept that, I'm never going to make healthful changes and feel comfortable in my own skin. So there's, what about that show, The Biggest Loser? Right? The first time I heard it, loser, you remember when you were in high school, right? People were like, you're such a loser. It's not a positive. I know it was a play on words. But it was awfully mean because they were referring to the person from both. You can be the biggest loser, losing the weight, but you're kind of a loser because you have to lose weight. Very negative. And what happens? A lot of the people have put the weight back on. It's not a permanent solution. So a lot of those kinds of books that we read where we want to fix ourselves, there's nothing wrong with you. You've just forgotten that you're the master of your mind and that you're powerful. That's it. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. I had a woman leave class because she was convinced there was something that needed to be fixed. She didn't want to hear that. It's too bad. You guys have to stay here. We locked the doors. Sorry. So put down anything for 2 weeks where you're going to fix this. Okay? Read something instead, feeding yourself good food. If I'm reading the news in the morning, in the evening, I do like to watch television. I don't even watch sitcoms. I'm watching Frasier just because it makes me laugh out loud. I just want something fun and light, not more heavy stuff. I had a client that was a trauma nurse, and then when she went home, she watched like ER and all kinds of stuff. It was just kind of like, we know why you need meditation. I mean, that's not, you don't have to be psychic to know that. So, there was a continue to perpetuate this high anxiety lifestyle, mostly because it can be addictive too. The up and the down, the hormones and all that. So find articles that are inspiring. Maybe you want to change your health, your wealth, your whatever, your relationship. Find success stories. Podcasts. Find some people that are positive, that have done the thing that you want to do, and you say to yourself, this is a science of mind thing, that the mind that is in that person is my mind too. If they can do it, I can do it too. If they're powerful, I'm powerful too. I can do that. Now there's a part of you that might not believe it, and that's okay, because the part of you that's like, that's your unconscious mind just showing you your stuff. That's it. It's like, we got to deal with this stuff. So you do it through repetition. Yeah? I love to read stories of people who do remarkable things. And sometimes the remarkable thing is like just finishing a race. I think there was a man who was 105 years old, and he rode his bike a mile in France, and he rode in their little velodrome thing or something. And he's like, I didn't want to break any records. I just wanted to show people at 105 you can ride a bike. And he was in great shape, So anyway, things like that make you stretch yourself so that you can too. Can you do that for 2 weeks? Yeah? Okay. The power of now on your health. Okay. Your body is always now. It's not in the future. It's not in the past. When you do the first meditation and you connect into the body, you actually connect into the force field that is the present moment. And that is now. Why is this important? When you are thinking about the past, when the dog is off the leash and you've been thinking about what he did to you or what she did or what your boss did 3 years ago, and it comes up, everybody's ever had that, like you have this memory and you're angry again or you're hurt or you're sad, you're not in your body. You're actually, your consciousness is someplace else. The reality is that whatever happened in the past isn't happening now, right? If you're worried, now I'm a mom and I worry about my kids sometimes, you know, like where are they, where are you going, what's going on? If I focus too much on that, I'm not in the now. I'm projecting into the future. And oftentimes our worries don't really happen and some of our worries are completely absurd. Right? So when you think about your body as a house and your attention is the consciousness that inhabits it, what happens to a house that's been abandoned for long periods of time? It starts to fall apart, doesn't it? So if you have a cabin in the woods, good, nobody's been there. There's a house next door, nobody's lived there for like a year. You know, grass is overgrown. I don't know what happened, but you know, even the fence just collapsed. Nobody went over there, it just collapsed. It was because nobody is there tending to it. Your body's the same way. The more you spend in the past and in the future worrying and in the past thinking about what happened and why she did this and why she shouldn't have done this and do you remember when she did this, and the more time I spend in the future worrying about things, I am not in my house. I am not taking care of my body. In consciousness. Over time, you leave room for little critters to get in and for things to start to fall apart until it hurts so bad you're forced to come back into the body and into the present moment. Right? So this is an esoteric explanation for why breathing and being present aids in the health of your physical form because you're very powerful. And so you got to train the dog to stay present. I think I told you the story last week where I had an attorney, a young attorney. He started meditating and he found out that his body hurts a lot. I hear that a lot. Things hurt when I'm breathing because you haven't been in your body and now you're aware of the pain, the physical and the emotional pain. Have a lot of people cry, a lot of tears. Nothing wrong with that. Beautiful. Because you're releasing and you're coming deeper into the present moment. There is nothing wrong with that. I cried for a year when I first started meditating, mostly because I didn't want to feel my emotions. I was afraid of them. I felt vulnerable, and I felt it made me feel less powerful when I was vulnerable. So when I started meditating, I had to feel my emotions. You guys want to be powerful? You be vulnerable. You have to know how you're feeling so you can make conscious choices. Does this make sense? It's good stuff, right? Should be taught in schools. I'm telling you. All right. So the health of your body will also reflect your most dominant unconscious beliefs about yourself. Remember, the unconscious mind does exactly what you tell it to do. Okay? It will reflect to you what your predominant beliefs are. My mother told me when I was younger, I was too sensitive for certain to be in certain situations. Now, I know that my mother, I'm not blaming her because we all have parents, was only trying to help me. She wanted to protect me, and there's nothing worse than my feelings hurt is cry. You know, when your kids come home, your feelings are hurt, somebody calls me a name, it's heartbreaking. So that didn't serve me over a long period of time. It actually held me back the belief that I adopted about myself as not being able to take criticism from other people. Which isn't always a bad thing. You know, sometimes you need people to tell you, you know, you could do this a little bit better, and let's do this, and let's work on this. Not being able to take criticism actually taught me, had the opposite effect where I started to shut down. Does this make sense? So sometimes your parents tell you things like, oh, you can't run. You know, you can't swim. We're not swimmers in our house. Nobody can swim. Right? We have these myths. Now that you as a child may have had this like, I want to surf and I want to do this. And, oh, we're not swimmers. You can't, it's dangerous out there. You can't go and do that. You're not built for that. Or, you know, there are some other things, you know, well, you know, everybody had cancer in their family. Everybody has it. You know, as soon as you start developing, you got to go right to the doctor. What does that create in the mind of a child? Now remember, your unconscious mind is absorbing all of that. There's another study that I can share with you about how your mind, your unconscious mind learns beyond your conscious awareness. So it's absorbing that information. And then what are you telling yourself? Well, it's in our family. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying this is what happens. Are you guys following me? So all of the myths that we have around our health. Now, it could be that you have a family that says, oh, we're fabulous. You know, we're great athletes and this, that, and the other, and we're super healthy, and we live to be 150. You could have that, too. It can work in your favor. So I'd like you to pay attention to that. Your body is a reflection of what's going on in your unconscious mind. So if there's discomfort, ask your unconscious mind about it. Go deeper. It doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor, because you do. You know, you take care of yourself. You feed yourself. You do those things. You guys following me? I'm going to give you one tip, and then we're going to meditate. One of the ways in which we reprogram our unconscious mind is through language, which we talked about. So on this sheet, there are things that are like, I can't, I'll try. I'll try means I won't do it. That's what that means. I can't, I won't, I'll try. We shouldn't do that. We couldn't do that. You know, paying attention to your language. The other way, because your mind works in pictures, is really to have, like, remember I said to read those positive stories? Maybe cut the picture out of the person that you want to be like. That's very powerful. And so, I know I tell you a lot about my own experience. When everything was falling apart, those few years, just not that long ago, in 2014, I had a vision board. And I would just look at it every day. And I had different women on the vision board that were different aspects of the woman that I was becoming, and I knew I wanted to be. And there were days when I didn't want to get out of bed. And I'd look at it and I'd think, well, what would she do? What would Meryl do? Or whoever, I won't tell you, who's on my board. What would they do? They're not going to sit here and get up. Because the person that I was imagining them to be, I had to fake it to make it. You guys following me? So the other thing I would tell myself, I can't wait until XYZ is happening. I can't wait. I can't wait until I wake up and I'm not in pain anymore. I know that day is coming. I know that day is coming. You got to pump yourself up, because nobody else is going to do it for you. So the vision boards and reading the positive stories are all ways in which we can recondition our unconscious mind to work for us in a positive way, so that we can have positive experiences. Okay, don't feel bad about the negative experiences. All you have to do is say, well, I'm not thinking right or believing right about something. And we'll explore how you can get more deeply into it. But for now, you know, have your vision board. Watch your language. Watch your language. Listen to yourself. How you talk about yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you think you are good looking? Or do you go, oh, my God, I'm so old? You just are telling, you just have told your body, let's start, you know, aging. Let's start slowing things down or speeding them up or whatever happens when we age. Do you guys follow me? I hear women, I had a client and she said, well, I just look at food and I just throw up. I'm like, it's a little thing, but you're telling your unconscious mind, let's slow our metabolism down so that we can fulfill that prophecy. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You guys good? You guys feeling full? We're gonna do more of this, but if there's anywhere in your health where you want improvement, where you want to feel comfortable in your own skin, please do this. Do everything that's on here and you will begin to see changes. I promise you. And your stuff will come up, and that's good. All the people that like to eat with you will come over to your house with ribs or something, you know, and you'll have to make a choice. Not to maybe not eat, maybe eat one, but maybe not all of them. But your stuff will start to come up for sure. You know, sometimes those, when we want to lose weight, as an example, since we're talking about health and well-being, oftentimes it requires that there's a shift in our relationships. And that's very scary. When we want to heal, you know, remember we talked about last week, the only time that most of us can rest is when we're sick. Sometimes it's the only time some people would get attention from their parents is when they were sick. You know, those kinds of things. This will start to come up for you. Okay? And that's okay, because you just breathe and you let it come up. All right, that's enough. Any questions? You guys good? Okay. You guys feeling powerful? Okay. That's good. Then my job is done. All right. Let's do our last meditation. We're going to start with, we're going to train the dog, and then we're going to go into a mindfulness meditation. All right? So this is kind of fun. If you were to imagine your mind as a dog, what kind of dog would it be? And the first dog that pops into your mind is the right one. Let's say Jack Russell Terrier. Go ahead and close your eyes. In your mind's eye, where is the dog? Is it in front of you? Is it next to you? Is it behind you? In your mind's eye, imagine calling the dog over to you if it isn't already there. In your mind's eye, imagine that there's a leash around the dog's neck and you're holding it. In your mind's eye, you are confident. And the dog can feel your confidence. You tug on the chain and the leash. And you tell the dog to sit. You are a leader. And the dog obeys your authority, recognizes your authority. And notice how calm the dog is in response. Beautiful. Notice how you feel in this moment. Letting the imagery go. And just bringing your beautiful attention into the body.
relaxing your face and your shoulders and your hands. Feeling your feet connected to the earth. Inhale and imagine the breath going all the way down through the bottoms of your feet, down into the center of the earth. When you exhale, imagine this beautiful energy coming up from the earth. Grounding, healing, balancing energy. Inhaling all the way down into the center of the earth. And exhaling, and energy comes up from the earth. Security. Grounding. And one more time, inhaling all the way down into the center of the earth. And exhaling, energy comes up, confidence, power. And just breathe. Just be. When you notice the mind or your attention has wandered, just bring it back. Just tug on that chain. If your attention has wandered, just bring it back. Thank you. Taking a nice, deep, conscious, connective breath all the way down into the center of the earth, getting nice and grounded, and sighing it out. Let's do that one more time. Inhaling. And exhale. Very gently opening up the eyes. Coming all the way back to the room, little fingers and toes. Bring your hands in prayer position at your heart. Thank you for sharing your Wednesday evening with me and with yourself. Namaste. And because I can't help myself, I have one more tip. You should try. If there is something that is not working for you in your life and you've tried over and over again to fix it, ask yourself, how does this situation benefit me? That's how we got to it's the only time I can rest is when I'm sick, you know, or it's the only time I really get attention or whatever. How is it benefiting you? There's a benefit. That there is a benefit to it. So if you're having a difficult time making those changes, ask yourself that. It is a come to Jesus moment sometimes, you know, when you do that. You can journal it out, but that's another tip for you guys. All right. You are powerful and awesome. How is it benefiting you? Yeah, so let's say you have a relationship that you can't seem to get out of. You ask yourself, how is this relationship benefiting me? How is it helping me? It's helping me on some level, because if it didn't, I would have walked away a long time ago. Really and truly. Good question. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
You're welcome.